The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
The title of today's message is Tune In and Hear God. We say this a lot at the Lighthouse, be Spirit-led, right? We say be Spirit-led. Well, hopefully today we give us some tools that help us tune in to that Spirit. Pastor Sarah preached a message 2 years ago, a year ago, neighborhood. And the title of that message was A Listening Heart. A listening heart. What does that mean, a listening heart? It means that we hear with ears, but we need to hear with our heart deep down. So hopefully today, when you leave here, our goal is that you take away something to be able to hear God's voice clearly to you. There are five, so for those of you taking notes with a pen and paper, these are all online. There's going to be five P's today, all right? So we're going to jump into the first one. Well, let me just read them to you so you can write them down. Leave yourself some space. We've got pursuit, presence, passion, position, and proof. All right, so those are the five P's that we're going to talk about today. And let's just jump in right now. So let's start with John chapter 16, 12 through 15. I still have many things to say to you, okay? But you cannot bear them now. So Jesus is about to go to heaven. That's what he's talking about right now. Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, I'm only going to be with you a little bit longer, okay? But I have more to say to you, but you can't take care of it all right now. However, I love Jesus's howevers. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, that's a capital S, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Guys, I'm ringing just a little bit up here. He will tell you all things to come. Uh-oh. So he's going to speak and tell me things to come. I like to know about things to come, right? He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that my Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So we started with declarations today, all right? So the Spirit of truth is going to come, and he is going to declare what is Jesus's to us. How does he do that? He still speaks, okay? God is a communicative, my English is awesome.
Communicative God.
That. You know why she stands here? You know why? Because she's my thesaurus. All right? She's my dictionary. And if I don't say something that makes sense, she hits me with the mic and then we go back, okay? All right, so both in the Old Testament and New Testament, God describes how he speaks to us, okay? God begins the world with his voice. God began the world with his voice. Okay? He spoke the existing world that you feel and see today, the wind, everything, out of his mouth. He talked with Adam and Eve. You hear me say with there? He talked with them. So in Genesis, God brought all the animals to Adam. He was looking for a helper for Adam. And God says, whatever you're going to call it, that's what I'm going to call it. Adam and God talked together. There was a two-way conversation. God and Adam talked together. Do we think that the Lord has changed in the last 10,000 years? No. The Bible says that the Lord never changes. He is the same today, tomorrow, and forevermore. He is and always will be. So God is still speaking to you today. All right? You want to read that quote?
This is a quote from A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God, talking about the Lord being a speaking God. A silent God suddenly began to speak in a book, and when that book was finished, lapsed back into silence again forever. Now we read the book as the record of what God said when he was, for a brief time, in a speaking mood. With notions like that in our heads, how can we believe? The facts are that God is not silent, has never been silent. It's the nature of God to speak. The second person of the Holy Trinity is called the Word. The Bible is the inevitable outcome of God's continuous speech.
That is so good. So with our first P here, pursuit, we always say we're going to pursue God, right? We've said, well, let's pursue God. Let's pursue God. But do you think God is pursuing you? The Word of God says that Jesus is drawing those to himself. He is pursuing you. Gentlemen, you just were at the conference. They probably said something about pursuing your wife. I don't know if this lady would still be standing next to me if I didn't pursue her and talk to her and get her to want to be near me, right? I have to talk her into it pretty regularly, right? Yeah. God doesn't have to be talked into being near you because he made you. He literally created you. Jeremiah 29:11, my favorite scripture, says this: "For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord." He says that, okay? He's also thinking about you. "They are plans for good and not for disaster." This is out of NLT. "To give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen." God says, "I'm going to listen to you. I'm thinking about you, I'm saying things to you, and I'm listening to you." Three things a relationship has, right? My wife would not be my wife if I didn't tell her, in our particular case, she was going to marry me. "You're going to get married to me." And she said, "Okay." We had a conversation. All right? I love the end of this verse right here. "You will find me. You will be found by God, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes, and I will gather you out of the nations where you were sent and bring you home again to your own land." We were just talking about God's country. We were talking about God's country. This is God's country. You are home. This is our Jerusalem. God said, "I'm going to bring you here." Okay? What is the greatest thing that anybody can do for another? Lay his life down, right? That's John. It's in John. God sent his son to die for you in pursuit of your heart. He wants your heart so much that he said, "You know what? I'm going to take my son, my person, I'm going to let him die on a cross, but I'm going to raise him again." And then Jesus said, "You get a helper that's better than me." I don't know what's better than Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is a pretty good guy. I'm just going to let y'all know that, okay? All right, we're moving along. Number two, presence. We were created to hear God's voice in fellowship with him. Again, Adam was created there in Genesis chapter 3, and he communed with God in the cool of the day every day. God came down from heaven, and they walked in the garden, and they enjoyed their time together. We were designed to be able to hear God and fellowship with him. Again, I'm going to use our wedding, our marriage as our relationship, right? If she said, "Okay," and then I put her over here, and then I go and do my own thing, and I never talk to her, would we have kids? No. Would I know what she likes? No. Would she know what I like? No. Would we have any sort of relationship? We did have one conversation, and it was a good one. We got together. But if we never talked again, we would not have any relationship. God designed us to hear both directions, us to him and him to us. We talk with God, not to God. Okay? God, we say this a lot. I love when Case says this because it's such a true thing. Case says, "God is love." Okay? That's a fact. God is love. But replace love there and put in relationship. God is relationships with you and I. He is relational. He wants to have a relationship with each and every person. Why? He made you. You hear me say this all the time, guys. You're God's favorite. I believe that to my very core. Why? He made you. He made you in his likeness. All right. For this one, so the presence, we have to be present as well, okay? We have to set a presence when we come into that. So when we're talking about, we were just listening to this worship song here. Worship is one of the ways that we set a presence for God. We say, you know what, we're going to enter into this relationship with God, and we praise God with our words, with song. Y'all can dance, all right? Y'all could dance. I'm telling you, don't watch me dance. I have some great moves. I got the sprinkler, you know. But don't watch me, but I will dance, you know. You can wave, waving flags. Aunt Mary, one of our very, she used to have flags, and my little girls are 3 and 4 years old, and they take flags, and they'd run through the house, and Aunt Mary was blasting praise music, and they'd be running with them flags, and they were praising Jesus. It was awesome. So be present with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, NLT version, it says this: "For since our friendship with God was restored by death of his son, while we were still his enemies." That one always gets me. I was an enemy of God, you know? But, okay, there's always a but. We will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because the Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Okay, Pastor Jim was actually already taking our message because we were going to read John chapter 10. Like I said, we could have just prayed and been done. But John 10, we know the shepherd's voice. I'm not going to quote it again, but we know the shepherd's voice. We know that. We know when Jesus is talking to us. How do we know that? Because it's inside of us. All right, I have to tell you this. So the other day I was talking to myself, and I knew it was me speaking because I know my own voice. And somebody was saying, "Well, you're talking to yourself." And I said, "Yeah, don't worry, I'm self-employed. We're having a staff meeting." But I say that, you know, I joke there, but I say this because we know our own thoughts, right? We can hear ourselves talk and think. But let me say this, is the Holy Spirit talks how you hear. When you're in the presence of God, he talks in, with me, it's football terms. God tells me a lot about football. I love high school football, pro football. I love football. And so he talks to me in those ways. I like cows, too. He talks to me a lot about cows. Cows, right? I got another good steak joke, but I'll tell you later. All right. So our relationship with God is who we are. Our ability to hear God is, you want to help me with these? I help me read these.
Our ability to hear God, number one, is innate. When we're born into this new covenant, we're born with the ability to hear God. He wouldn't call us and save us and renew his relationship with us if he didn't want to speak to us. He created us to hear his voice. Our ability to hear God is learned. Think about a baby when they're born. They're born with the ability to speak, but they have to put the words together. They have to put the syllables together, right? Haley's first word when she was born, besides mama, of course, was peace. Because she would say, "Please," we said, "Say please." I don't know why we did that, but she would say, "Please, peace, peace," for what she wanted. She was demanding what she wanted, but she was saying please. Okay, so she was putting her words together. After we're putting our words together, we have to mature our ability to communicate. So our ability to hear God and communicate with him is matured. Like I said, Haley's learning to put her words together. Now, instead of yelling please at me, she says, "Mama, I love you so much. You're the greatest mom ever. May I please have a computer?"
And then
you know,
it shows
a
up.
Puppy. Okay, right. So this ability to hear God is innate, it's learned, and it's matured.
So that mature, I love all of those, and I have to have her help me read them because I went to school in Alamogordo. All of you who know where I went to school know that that's funny. So I actually got to play high school football down there, but I started throwing a football when I was little, My dad taught me. We were out in the backyard. We play catch. And so that's, you know how to throw a ball, right? You just go out there and you throw it. And it would go everywhere. If you ever watch those kids throw balls, they you know, you can't play catch with a five-year-old really well because you're tired because you're running after it. And now that I'm a little older, I don't play catch with anybody much younger than me because we have to be about from here to Pastor Monty because, you know, we can catch it at that distance. But I learned as the time went on, and I honed a skill. I was 12 years old, and I got to play quarterback in junior high. They're like, oh, you can be the quarterback. You can throw things pretty good. And so they honed my skills. They actually taught me to hand a football off. How hard is that, right? You turn around and you give it to this guy. But in that turning, that guy's going someplace. You have to learn how to find him and then put the ball in his breadbasket, if you will, okay? He's going to put an arm up, and he's not going to look at you. You have to go over there, and you have to give it to him. And then he's going to run with it, okay? Being in position is important. But it took me a long time to learn that skill, where then I could just turn around and know where he's going, and I could be thinking something completely different. It was a learned behavior. And then it got matured in me in high school. We were in the same offense pretty much for most of my high school career. I could sleep in that offense. And then they changed it on me in college. Let me tell you, relearning a matured skill is very difficult. And I say that because sometimes we have tuned out the voice of God, and we have to relearn his voice, right? It's difficult. It is difficult to do that. I'll tell you a story about a young man named Samuel in the Bible. It's in there.
It's in 1 Samuel.
There we go. See my thesaurus. So Samuel is laying in his bed. He's about 12 years old, and he hears this voice, Samuel. So he runs to Eli, and he says, here I am. Eli's like, go back to bed, buddy. Nobody's calling you. So he goes back down, lays bound. Happens again. Runs to Eli. Eli's like, nobody's talking to you in this room. Go back. You're waking me up now. It's daylight savings time. Back to bed. And so he, one more time, he runs in, and Eli goes, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's the voice of the Lord. So now Samuel goes back down and he lays down and he says, here I am, Lord. I hear your voice. And God downloads to him some very powerful stuff. In fact, we get King David because of Samuel being obedient to the voice of the Lord. Okay? So we are able to hear the voice of the Lord, and it's how you hear. Okay? In that story, Eli wasn't hearing the voice of God. Samuel was. And he heard it how he was hearing it, in a quiet place, okay? Number three, moving on here. Passion. We have to value the Word of God. We have to value listening to the Word of God. What does that mean? When we say value the Word of God, we have our Bible, right? That's good. And we get a lot from reading our Bible. But when we value, when we are passionate and we value something, I'm passionate about my wife. I love this lady. I value her. I value what's important to her. I want to know what she wants to do. I ask this question all the time. Where do you want to go eat? Gentlemen, that's a dangerous question. Right? But I know enough to know that I tell her, I'm taking you to eat. We're going here. So what I do know is she likes to just be out with me. She likes to hang out with me. So if I'd say we're going to this restaurant, she's like, I'll find something I like. And it takes 15 years to get to that point. But you ask, what do you want for dinner? She might not tell you immediately. She might not. But I value that. But I still spend time pursuing her going, you know what? I'm going to try to figure out what she wants. Is it salad today or is it steak? Or, you know, I value that opinion that she has, right? Same with God's word. How much more valuable is God's word than knowing where we want to go to dinner? God's word is life-changing and life-giving, period. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says this. This is out of the Passion. My child, will you treasure my wisdom? I love that word. Will you treasure my wisdom? Then and only then will you acquire it. And only if you accept my advice and hide it within you will you succeed. So, train your heart and listen when I speak and open your spirit wide to expand your discernment then pass it on to your sons and daughters. Uh-oh, we have a job, right? First, treasure wisdom. Value God's word. Value God's word. Then you will acquire it. Uh-oh, now you have to use it. God gives it to you to use. God's word is living. It never returns to him void. Use what he gives you. Whether you're buying a car or shoes, or whether you're going out to dinner, use God's word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 8, it says this, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinion. Opinions are like earlobes. Everybody has a couple, right? Don't rely on our own opinion. We were talking to a person about some news, and they're, you know, the news is scary, right? There's always things in the news. And where do you get your news? And I said, the Holy Spirit. And she goes, what? I went, yeah, the Holy Spirit. I can read the news or have the news read to me, but I'm going to discern it with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's a lot of bad stuff in the world. I only want what God wants me to have. Amen. All right? I scrolled too far, I'm sorry. Psalms 27:24, last verse here. I'm sorry for playing Bible bingo. I'll tell you this quick story. I had a pastor who, he would be reading one scripture, and then he'd say, put your finger there. And then he'd go, put your finger there. And pretty soon I'm like, can you help me get my shoes off? Because he'd be talking, great pastor, but my poor Bible was all crinkled, and so now I have it on my phone. All right, Psalms 27:4. One thing I have asked of Jehovah, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of Jehovah, and inquire in his temple. I get to talk with God in the temple. I get to talk with God in the temple, all right? Number four, we're moving on. Position ourselves. We position ourselves to hear and listen. It's practical. It's practical. What do we mean by practical? I'm a financial advisor by trade. If you're going to come and see me, you set an appointment, right? I say, next Tuesday at 3 o'clock, come to my office. And if you value your finances, you show up, right? The doctor says, hey, you got a broken arm. Tomorrow morning at 8:30, we're going to set your broken arm. If you value being out of pain, you show up, right? Why would we not value God to set a time for him? Start with 2 minutes a day. You wake up in the morning, everybody here is awake, right? I didn't bring a squirt gun. Everybody here is awake. Okay, so if you're awake, did you do this? Okay, maybe it's this because I'm getting closer to 40, but I wake up now and I look at the ceiling first nowadays. And I go, okay, it is now time for me to put my feet on the floor and I think through these days, okay? So as you get to your day, maybe that before you put your feet on the floor, you go, this is my appointed time with God. I'm going to take 2 minutes, and I'm going to ask the Lord about my day today. Lord, what do you have set before me today for 2 minutes? Ask the Lord how, here's a fun one. Ask the Lord how he's doing in that 2 minutes. Do you think that Adam just walked around every day, well, God, got all these animals. I don't have a wife yet. I don't know. Did Adam complain? No. It doesn't talk a lot about life in the garden, but I will tell you this, is it was perfect, and I'm pretty sure Adam and God had some pretty cool conversations. All right? For that one, I'm just going to give you the reference. Exodus 19, it's in y'all's notes. God sets an appointment to speak with Israel. Okay? Exodus chapter 19. This one is my wife's favorite. She loves this one. I'll let you read that one, and you like that one.
This is in my wheelhouse. So number one, set an appointment with the Lord. Number two, be still and worship. I believe this is a word the Lord gave to me a while back about praise and worship. It sets the compass of our soul man, our mind, will, and emotions towards the Lord, right? We have to set ourselves up to listen, okay? To hear and then to listen. That's an active thing, right? Psalms 100 talks about this. I love Psalms, and this is one of my favorites. This is in the Passion. It says, worship Yahweh with gladness. Sing your way into his presence with joy and realize what this really means. We have the privilege of worshiping Yahweh our God, for he is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. You can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. I love that, password of praise. That's why we do music at the beginning of service, you know? Because this is how we set the compass to come to the Lord, hear what he has to say, and listen.
Password. Everybody has passwords, right? Who knew God did, right? Password of praise. All right. I can't tell another joke. We got to go. I have another joke, but okay. Number three, pray and read. Pray and read. Okay, so you got your Bible open, whether it's on your phone or the paper Bible, you got your Bible open, and you're just ready to read, and you just open it up, and all of a sudden there's numbers, and it's just listing people's names. Why did God put this in the Bible? Actually, I'll just give you a quick lesson. It's genealogy of Jesus, but why? It's important. The word says that God spoke every word into the Bible for a reason. Even the conversations that he had with the devil are there for our benefit. They're there for us. So we pray, Lord, what do you need me to hear from this scripture? My wife and I were actually just talking today while we were getting ready about John 3:16. How many of you in here can quote John 3:16? Most of us can, right? That's probably the most used scripture in America today. However, what is God saying in verse 17? God, well, we read 16. Should we read 15? Or maybe should we read 17? Oh, Jesus came to save me? He loves me? God, what are you saying to me in this verse? Maybe there's a person that you need in your life that day that verse is in there, and you need to ask the Lord, Lord, I need to know why this verse is here today. Somebody's going to walk into your life, and you're going to go, you know what? Jesus loves you. And you can sing the song, or you can read the verse, but it's going to speak to them differently than it speaks to you. Why? We all hear God's voice how we hear. Okay? We pray and we read. Psalms 121, 1 through 2 in the NLT, it says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Not the mountain, but the creator who made the mountains. Love that.
I love that. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No. My help comes from the Lord. And when we're coming to the Lord and we're getting ready to hear and listen, sometimes there's issues on our heart. Sometimes we're anxious about something. Sometimes we're thinking about the day that we have to come. We've got all these things to do, right? Pray, okay? Pray, because we can't really hear until those things in our soul are settled. And God cares about the things we care about. He does. And he will give you peace about those things so that you can be still and know that he is God.
Right? That's good. That's a good word. Number four, write and listen. Habakkuk 2 says, write the vision down and make it plain on tablets. Take notes. If you have something that's bothering you, write it down. Write it down. Listen. Maybe that's a problem. Maybe it's a praise. Write down your praise to God and go back later and say, hey, God, I'm going to praise you for this today right now. That's awesome. If it's a problem, write it down. And then listen. Pray over that. Lord, what are you saying to me about this? What are you saying to me about buying this piece of whatever? What are you saying to me about going to this person? What are you saying to me, Lord, about this thing? Write it down. Because sometimes you need to put it down for a second. Sometimes you need to put it down for a second. The Lord sometimes takes a minute to answer. My wife, poor thing, she'll ask me a question, and it takes EJ a minute to process. And she asks me another question. And so now I'm processing two questions. And now my brain is scrambled, and I'm trying to answer two questions in one sentence, And she's like, well, that doesn't make sense. It takes EJ a minute to process. Sometimes it takes you a minute to process what God is telling you. That's why that write it down is such an important thing, okay? Number five. So this is our final P, proof. God speaks in different ways, but he always confirms his word, okay? If it's ever contrary to the word of God, it's not God. If you don't have peace, it's not God. If it's not confirmed by two or three witnesses every single time, that's not a like hard and fast rule, but I will say this is when God speaks to you, maybe it's about a new job or maybe it's about moving house or the county, right? God will confirm that to you. Tell you a quick story there. We are in a rat town, America, because two or three witnesses confirmed to us from very different parts of our life that we were supposed to move and become part of Edward Jones. We were praying about it and praying about it and praying about it, and we were brought here for a time such as this. Okay? So the first one, through the Bible, right? 2 Timothy 3:16, God gives all scripture. Okay, I'm just going to paraphrase that. It's God gives us all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. Through people and wise counsel, I would encourage you, find good, wise counsel. Find good, wise counsel. Probably not great to go to city council and ask them about buying some ground. Nothing wrong with city council, okay? But that word counsel doesn't necessarily make it wise, right? Find people you trust that are spirit-filled people that can give you wise counsel. Pastors are great people inside there. So our pastor specifically, Monty and Sarah, will always give wise counsel. I can tell you from personal experience, their counsel is very wise. But find a couple people that you trust that you can call on a whim and get wise counsel. Okay? Scripture reference there, Proverbs 12, 15, and 19, verse 20. I'm going to read 19, verse 20. I like that one. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Guys, all these are in the notes, okay? Through peace. Colossians 3, 15 says, let peace rule your heart. If you are making a decision and you feel unpeaceful, probably not a God decision. Now, let's say this. I'm a decision maker. My beautiful bride of 15 years has watched EJ make decisions. EJ's made one decision, and then we've had to make seven more decisions. Had I listened, we'd have made one decision. Okay? It wasn't a peaceful decision. It was just a decision. Let's move forward. But let me tell you this. In making more decisions, God always redeemed the first decision. Always. God is a redeemer. So if you miss the first step, guys, don't worry. God will redeem the decision. Stay sensitive. And again, he's talking to you all the time. Excuse me. He is talking to you all the time. He will redeem the decision. Okay? Number four, subpoint. Maybe we should have made those letters. Just thinking about it now. Through dreams and visions. Okay? This is evident in Old and New Testament. Jacob and Joseph were dreamers and vision seers. Joseph was called the dreamer, right? He had lots of dreams. He interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. He was the dreamer. Jacob saw the ladder to heaven with the angels going to and from the earth. We had Peter, who actually went to us, the Gentiles, in a vision, right? And then we have John, who wrote the entire book of Revelations through vision inspired by God, okay? Acts 2:16 through 18 is the scripture reference there. I want y'all to, we're, for time's sake, I'm not going to read that one. Number five, through supernatural manifestations. Moses saw a burning bush, but it wasn't consumed. Ironically enough, Moses saw lots of burning bushes in the desert, but this one wasn't being consumed. So he goes, I'm going to go over there. And God talked to Moses and saved the nation of Israel, right? Saul's bright light. Saul's like, you know what? That's pretty impressive. I'm blind now. But he also knew he had faith because he was blind, so they take him to this guy's house, and this guy heals his sight. Some scales fall off, and he goes, that was God. Supernatural manifestation. This is my favorite one. I actually heard a whole series preached on this guy. He's a smaller character of the Bible. His name is Balaam. I won't give you the title of the message right now, but I will say the title of that message. But Balaam beat his donkey, or you fill in the blank. So Balaam has beaten his donkey, and there's an angel of the Lord three different times, and Balaam is mad. Like, he is fire mad. So he looks at the donkey, and the donkey turns around and says, "Why you hitting me, man?" And Balaam doesn't just, like, stop. He engages in conversation. "Well, I want to go over there. You're not." He goes, this is, I will have to pull up the scripture. I'm going to paraphrase it. But the donkey basically goes, "Have I ever given you reason to beat me? You've been riding me your whole life." And he goes, "No." So Balaam, God speaks through animals, okay? And it's ironic that we will engage in a conversation with an animal. I love that one, okay? You do that one.
Okay. Number six, through circumstances. We see God speak to Jonah through circumstances. He told Jonah to go do something, to go minister to these people. Jonah said, "I'm going to do that." So he goes the other way, sails off. They run into a storm. He's swallowed by a whale. That's an interesting circumstance. Okay? And God continues to talk to him, and he talks him through it. Okay? He didn't leave him in the whale's belly. Okay? He continues to talk him through it. Okay? So this circumstance was really interesting. This is how the Lord used circumstances in my life. So this was right before we were going to get married. And we're deciding, you know, where he's going to work and where I'm going to work and where we're going to live. So I applied for several jobs. And, I mean, jobs I was qualified to do. Had interviews. They went great. Not one callback. What are you doing, Lord? You're closing a door, but why? EJ got a job offer in North Dakota. Like, okay, we're going to move from Walsenburg, Colorado to North Dakota. EJ, the loving husband that he is, my family lives in North Dakota. He said, "Well, I'm going to get big brownie points for this, moving my wife back close to her family," okay? It turns out, 10 years later, God knew what he was doing. He closed those doors through those circumstances so that we could move, meet people that we needed to meet, and circle our way back down here, and we avoided, in hindsight, some big trouble. It was amazing. So God speaks through circumstances.
It's also very cold in North Dakota. They canceled church because of the blizzard, so. All right, number seven, through our thoughts. Amos 4:13 and Proverbs 16:3. Again, for time's sake, I'm not going to read those. But through our thoughts. So what does that really mean? Our thoughts, God is always talking to you. In your spirit, he's inside of you, right? The Bible says that he lives inside of you. And then your thoughts. Again, that joke I just told you. I know it was me because I know my own voice, right? Same with God. He's inside of you. And that thought might come through and it might sound like your voice. And you go, "I've never thought of that before. I've never heard the word of God said that thing to me like that before." That's the spirit. Don't discount that, okay? Through your thoughts, again, they line up with the word, okay? So be careful. Three places are carnal mind, God's spirit, and the devil. So sometimes those thoughts come from the devil. Sometimes we just had a funeral that the devil lied to somebody, and they took their life. That's a lie. That's a lie. It started from the enemy, okay? Sometimes we are like, "You know what? I have this great idea. My own carnal thing, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to make $10 million with this." And God's going, "I don't want you to make $10 million. I want you to make $30 million, but I want you to do it this way." And we're going, "Oh." And we bang our head on this brick wall over here for a few years until we turn into God's plan, okay? God's spirit is always in line with his word, okay? Is it in line? Is that thought in line with God's character? God is love. And relationships, okay? And does it bring peace? And it's also okay. Well, I'm going to tell you very quickly the story of Gideon. So I got it right. I get Gideon and Caleb mixed up a lot, all right? Caleb is a guy who's on a mountain, and Gideon is master of 300, and so it's pretty fun. But I get those mixed up all the time, so if I say Caleb, I apologize. But Gideon says to the Lord, I'm going to need you to give me a sign. I need the fleece to be wet and the ground to be dry. God does it. I need the ground to be wet and the fleece to be dry. God does it. And poor Gideon's like, you know, God, I praise you for not just doing that. One more sign. And God does it. God was never impatient. When you go in through and read that story in Judges chapter 6, God is never impatient with us. Okay? If you're waiting and trying to figure out what is God's voice, God is never impatient with you. Again, he's pursuing you and relational. He wants to be in relationship with you. All right? We're going to close with this scripture right here. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 12 in the NLT. This is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit says, have an open heart to me today. Don't harden your heart. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles. Okay? And I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts have always turned away from me, and they refuse to do what I tell them. Not what I wrote down for them, but what I tell them. Okay? What I tell them. And I said, and so in my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. That's us. Brothers and sisters, he's talking to Bible-believing Christians. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. He gets me. Right? Turning you away from the living God. Don't harden your hearts. You can hear God's voice. You can hear God's voice. I know that. Every one of you was created to hear God's voice. Created to hear God's voice and commune with him. All right?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com. Or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/LighthouseRaton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.LighthouseRaton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa-oh. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. To shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my trouble.